IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of the last savior and the need for the savior. What are the promises of the savior and how salvation is reached through belief in the last savior. Some people and some theologians resemble Imam as to the sun behind the clouds, Shaykh Rouhani. Still, there are so many other people ask that what would be the benefit and the use of a sun behind the clouds? Because the sun is sun when it is over the clouds, when it is shining over the people. What's your answer to that?
Yes, of course, sun is always sun, and sun itself is not for being behind the cloud, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the cloud that causes sun to be behind it.
Okay.
Same is the case with the Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala, farajahu sharif, because the first responsibility of the Imam is to be among the people, not to be hidden from the people. But the problem is from the people's side, not from the Imam's side.
Mm-hmm.
As the problem is from the cloud side, not from the sun side.
Okay.
So Imam is always Imam, sun is always sun. But if there is cloud, if the people actually treat and behave the Imams in a way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally decide to save the Imam from the evil rulers, from the evil people. So this is the problem of the people. As you see, for example, in the history, when we look at the life of the prophets,
yes,
you see, for example, Prophet Noah, alayhi salam, he saved his people. Or, for example, Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, he also saved his people from the arrogant power Nimrud. Same was the case with Prophet Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it seems that there is problem with the people who wanted to kill Noah, who wanted to kill Ibrahim, who wanted to kill, for example, Isa alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they saved the people. So in the history, it happened for the prophets, and same stories happened to the imams. All the 11 imams, the forefathers of this Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, they were martyred.
Yes.
They were killed, they were poisoned. Some of them, like Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sat, which is well known to the whole universe, that how was he martyred very sadly in Karbala and Nineveh. So this was the story of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to save the Imam in order to save the people finally from this arrogant and satanic and the evil power.
Because some believe that he is the only hujjah.
Of course, yeah.
Or proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth.
Yes.
So Allah's blessings and Allah's mercies on the people, not only on earth, but the whole universe, is because of Imam
Ali. Because of the Imam, yes, of course.
Is it exaggeration, Sayyid? Am I exaggerating?
No, it's not the exaggeration, obviously. We have the narrations that if the hujjat or the proof of Allah or authority of Allah is not in this world, then this world won't exist.
Uh-huh.
So, and on the other hand, we have that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that Allah has created my nur, my light first, and from there he created the rest of the universe. So he created the mankind because of these personalities, these perfect, we can say like, you know, personalities who were the most beloved ones in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
And he wanted the rest of the people to be like them. That's why they are the role model for the people. They are the proofs and the authority on the world. On the other hand, when you talk about the sun behind the cloud, basically there was a doubt.
Yes.
Which was answered through this phrase. And the doubt was that when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is in occultation, what does this occultation mean?
Yes.
Is he out of the sight of the people?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
is he absent?
Is he
what is the need of an absent imam,
occultation,
for example?
Does not mean, for example, you know, when they say absent, they mean like, you know, there is a safe.
Mm-hmm.
We have a precious thing. We put it in the safe and we lock it with the key.
Okay.
Right? Now, do we have access to that thing inside the safe? No. We need to open the door.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the meaning of occultation. On the other hand, the scholars, the theologians have come and said, the occultation means like a sun which is behind the cloud, which is shining there, but for some time, due to some reasons, through the wisdom, Allah has brought some clouds in front of us so that we cannot see him, but still we feel his light. You know, the sun behind the cloud shines. It is day. You can see the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dark. Yes, clouds are coming. You know, they're stopping the rays of the sun coming towards the people.
Veiling the sun, that's right.
But still, because of that sun behind the cloud, when we walk in the street, we can see around us. It's all light. It's not dark. It's not like night. Therefore, the shining is there, but it is through the means. And obviously, the means are the maraji or the fuqaha.
Mm-hmm.
That at this time would need to benefit from them in his occultation. So this was the basic concept, because some people used to say that if he is in occultation, it means that he is absent, we cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
The way, you know, there is the absence of the Prophet Jesus, for example. We do not have any direct connection or indirect connection with him. Whereas in regards to the Imam Mahdi, because he's Imam, he's the leader, he has to lead. He has connections through different means with the fuqaha and the na'ibin that he had, the representatives.
Yes.
And we are obliged to follow these fuqaha.
And they are not necessarily the people who we witness every day on the screen of the TV or something like that. There could be some people who are unknown, isn't it?
Yes.
Because they say that, for example, when Imam reappears, the army of the Imam will start with a very small number of the people, 313 people starting, okay? This is a number, this is a symbol, but it shows that the number of the people who are considered as the main companion of the Imam are not many, unfortunately. And this makes the responsibility of the awaiters of the Imam as very much difficult. Shaykh Rouhani, who are they? And what are the main characteristics? What should be, in fact, the main characteristics of the awaiters of Imam Asr?
You know, according to our riwayat and ahadith, whatever we do, for example, daily on during, for example, the week, it will be presented to the Imam, and Imam will observe us.
Uh-huh.
Imam is like observer that always observe whatever we do in our lives. So that's why we must always consider that Imam alayhi salatu wasalam is observing us. So you see, this way, even if Imam is ghaib, is absent, but we have his presence, his hudur, his presence in our lives each and every moment, because we think that, of course, for example, whatever I do in my life, in every moment, I should consider that Imam is observing me. So I have to make the Imam pleased. So that is why I think, of course, sometimes the point is that sometimes the people had direct access to the Imam, but they didn't care. They didn't follow the Imams.
Yes.
They disrespected the Imam. They killed the Imam. But in a hadith, it says that, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you, is examining you that, okay, when Imam is ghaib and Imam is not present, how do you live then?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a kind of opportunity that's given to the people.
Yes.
That of course, Imam is observing you, but we do not observe your Imam.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that Imam should observe us. It's not important that we observe the Imam, you know? And that's why we should control ourselves. We should be very much careful and cautious about each and everything that we do. And the other point is that our responsibility is this, that we should be always prepared for the reappearance of the Imam.
This is very important.
Yeah,
that's
because
right.
Because it is unknown.
Live as if always...
As if Imam is coming.
As if Imam is
about to come.
Yes, yes.
So, for example, if today, God bless us with the presence of the Imam, then how can we affair ourselves to the Imam? Yeah,
yes.
This is very much important
question.
How is
it possible?
Yeah, how did we live in this world? That if Imam referred to us, are we ready to say that?
No,
yeah,
we are not ready.
Yeah, of course, this is a very important question.
I'm not ready.
That is why I think, for example, for these 1,000 years,
Yes.
That Muslims lived, that true mu'mineen lived. Mm-hmm. There were few true mu'mineen that they were always ready for the reappearance of the imam.
So what happens to them, Sayyid Mohsen? The people who died and passed away, but they were really, truly loving Imam As. When the imam reappears, do they do raj'ah or something like that? Do we have such a concept?
Well, obviously, being a Shia, we need to believe in raj'ah. Raj'ah means that after passing away, they will be raised again. Uh-huh. And we have many examples in the history. For example, in the Quran, even we have the example of the Prophet Uzair, who was raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after 100 years, after the 100 years of his death. And there are many other examples, and this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, for those in the narrations, it is said that those who wished to be with him, they will be raised. And on top of that, in some hadith, we also have, you know, the Ashabi Kahf.
Oh.
You know, who are sleeping in the cave. They will be raised as well, like at that time. So this raising up is not a big issue because the one who created.
It is very much like resurrection, isn't it?
It's kind of, yes. Uh-huh. And the main idea is because, you know, about the death, there is a basic difference of the, you know, belief in the death. What does death mean?
Yes.
Some people believe that death means the end of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Islamic teachings or Islamic philosophy, it proves that the death means the transfer of a person from one place to another.
That's right.
That's why we use the word intiqal. Intiqal means transferring.
Transfer, that's right.
It's not the death as the meaning of
termination. It's not termination. Yeah.
So that's why we have the examples in the Quran as well, in the history as well, the people who passed away or after some time they were raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the prophets. You know, the prophet Jesus used to, you know, raise people with
the dead ones. Yes.
قُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ.
Yes.
You need to raise with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have all these things in the history, and this is not a big deal.
Okay.
But the main point is, is my actions, is my living style, everything in line with the teachings that when the imam will come, I'm ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making grounds for that or not? Because this is the main ideology behind the Islamic revolution of Iran.
Yes.
That Imam Khomeini and even the Supreme Leader, they believe that we need to make grounds for someone who needs to come. Obviously, this is our duty to make this ready, this world ready for his reappearance, so that when he comes, there is a station for him. There is, you know, a place. There are some companions. There are believers, and we need to aware people of the world. If everyone wants justice, they must be aware of the Mahdi.
Yes,
Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Why? Because he is the one who will bring the justice, and we can see that in today's world, especially with this media, with the movie.
Yes, the media and the movies.
The media and
cinema,
movies.
Yes.
Even there, they are talking about these concepts as well.
Yes.
You know, there are many movies which were made on the last savior, how he would be. On the other hand, the movies that are in the hand of the media, which is in the hands of the satanic powers,
yes,
they're showing him as, you know, someone who is someone who will invade the countries and take everything in his hands. He will not bring the justice.
Or people are after killing him. That's right.
So the both ideas are there. But the main thing is we need to...
The latest version was the movie Dune.
Dune, yes.
D-U-N-E, okay?
The latest Dune.
The latest Dune, that was...
Because there are different series of that, the last
that's
one.
That's right.
They called
The One...
Yes.
And at the end of the movie, the one is called the Mahdi.
The Mahdi
is called. Okay.
So basically, these are the things that are to deviate people
from the true understanding of the concept.
And obviously, we have seen that the media has played the active role in deviating people from the real concept.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Nahwi and Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of the last savior and the need to this concept in today's world and in this world. It was very kind of you. Thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها, أنا لها.